The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Enlarge the place of your tent. Isaiah 54:2, it just tells us to expand our tents. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. In other words, be extravagant in the way that you expand your tent. Don't be concerned with being out of control. Just do it. Expand that tent. Make it large. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Your stakes need to be strengthened. That's the foundation. Now, what I am doing is I'm likening this scripture to influence, because we are all as salt and light, as body of Christ, as the ecclesia of Jesus. We are all called to be an example, to be an influencers in our community, in our household, in our workplace. In our church, you're supposed to be an influence. You're supposed to be salt and light. I believe that God wants His people to live in abundance in every area of our life so that we can be an example to the world of what it means to serve a living God. God doesn't want you to lack. I'm not telling you that everyone's going to drive Mercedes or live in a castle. I'm not saying that. But prosperity is different for different people on different levels. But God's word is very true. He wants you to prosper. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So let's get back to what is important. Soul prosperity. When your soul prospers, you don't have to worry about any of this other stuff. God takes care of it for you. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it's very important that we recognize that we have to get our heart right with God. And sometimes the church strays from the truth, and we have to just kind of pull ourselves back to the truth of the living God. 2 Chronicles is very true. 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Whoa, God's people have wicked ways. Yes, we do. There's no doubt. And we do need to repent. But the word is so clear here that if we do that and we turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and He will heal our land. Amen. What is our land? Well, our land can be our nation, but our land can also be our community that we live in. Our land can be our state. Our land can be our workplace. Our land can be our family. Our land can be our church. Everything is a part of our land, a part of who we are. And God has called His people to be strong and faithful, to be an example to this world, to be an example to others, to know what it means to serve the living God. Now, one thing that I have noticed over the years as I've become a Christian, that the generation, from generation to generation, things begin to change. Sometimes things change for the good. Sometimes things change for the negative. When it comes to spirituality, I'm seeing a decline in spirituality. I mean godly, the desire to serve God and understand who Jesus Christ is as our Savior. There are several different terms that we've used over the years. The elders is the group of people that was born before the end of World War II. But of course, boomers, which is, I'm a part of the boomer generation. We were born after World War II. In fact, the dates that they give for that is 1946 to 1964 are baby boomers. Then Generation X, 1965 to 1983. millennials, 84 to 98. And now there's a new term, Generation Z. And Generation Z are teens. They're born 1999, 2015. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Well, there's some differences in the generations. The elder generation, the population, for the most part, believed in a God. Many of them were born-again Christians, a huge population born-again Christians. And they trusted the Word of God. But as we go through the generations, the trust in the Bible as the Word of God has declined. You see, and as the pastor, I want to share with you that this Word is the only true foundation that we have in this world. It's the strength, it's the power, it's the thing that calls us and teaches us that there is a living God and that we can have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But you see, what's happening is generation after generation is moving away from the belief in this reality. Actually, for Generation Z, many of them believe it's not possible to know for sure if God is real. Over a third of them say that when they're interviewed. And today, more than half of the Americans that were surveyed by Barna, over half, believe that that truth is relative and that there are more ways than one that many religions can lead you to salvation. Many religions are the truth. Now, I want to make sure that I make this perfectly clear. That is contrary to the Word of God. That's the reason I believe the Word of God is our foundation. That's the reason I teach that. That's the reason I want you to know that that's contrary to what the Bible says. It's contrary to what our Lord and Savior Himself said. He said, I am the way, I'm the door, I'm the gate. He actually said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, if you believe Jesus walked on this earth, and there's plenty of evidence that He did, they don't dispute that Jesus was real and He walked on the face of the earth and that He was crucified, okay? And the Bible tells us that over 500 people saw Him walking around after He was crucified, put to death, and then He came back to life. Jesus said, I am the way to God. So I want to leave you this morning with that. As I move on with this message, with that very important aspect of the Word of God and the reality of that in our lives, Jesus is the way, the only way. Buddha's not the way. Muhammad's not the way. Any of these other religions are not the way. Jesus is the only way. So we must make that our priority to seek God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me share a truth with you. There was an article written in a magazine called The Atlantic. Larry Taunton was the author of this, but what he did was he was interviewing youth, Generation Z, and he was trying to find out what was going on in the churches today. And what he discovered was the fact that when it comes to youth and teenagers, that in order to get the teenagers to come in numbers, you have to provide entertainment for them. And entertainment's okay. However, I must say this. If youth groups are only entertainment driven, we're missing the mark. Totally and completely. And this story that I'm about to tell you pinpoints that as a reality. He followed a young man, or interviewed a young man by the name of Paul. Paul was a teenager. Paul was vacillating between Christianity and atheism. He just, you know, he was about to reject Christianity, but he wanted the truth. And he had a young man who was a Bible teacher in it for his youth leader. And his youth leader, Jim, would sit down with the group and teach them the Word of God. He was very knowledgeable. He would make it relevant to their life on a regular basis. And Paul was starting to learn and grow in the reality of the Word of God. And Jim was doing a great job. However, Jim was not drawing in great numbers of people, of young people. There were those who truly wanted to hear the Word and coming to his Bible study and learning about God. But he wasn't drawing in great numbers. So his church said, "Jim, you're not doing a good enough job." And they hired a young lady by the name of Shannon, who was a beautiful young lady, very charismatic personality. But in Paul's words, Paul's the guy that was vacillating between religion and atheism. In Paul's words, she knew nothing about the Word of God. But she did build the youth group. Lots of young people came. They had a good time. They played. But they learned nothing about God. Paul today is living a life as an atheist. He had an opportunity. The church had an opportunity to pull him in. And who knows what Paul could do for the kingdom of God if the right influence was instilled in his life. I love every generation that's represented in this church this morning. But I can tell you this, the truth of the Word of God is more important than large numbers. Teaching you truth, telling you about the Word of God, letting you know that God is alive, He loves you, and you have a choice to make here in this life. And that choice is to love God through His Son, Jesus Christ. To accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. To receive that sacrifice, repent of your sins, and accept what God did for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not die, but live forever. Hallelujah. That's the truth. And I want to instill that in every person sitting in here this morning. If you want God, if you're seeking God, if you have any desire for God, you will find Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Hallelujah. I believe the only thing that's going to change lives is relationship. And that relationship starts with Jesus. Do you realize what the first century Christians did? Do you know how they changed culture? You know how they shook the world? Acts is read the book of Acts and you'll see how the Church of Jesus Christ took a world that was upside down and turned it right side up. Now, a lot of people would say they turned it upside down. No, they didn't. They made it right. They steered a generation. They steered a group of people in the right direction toward a living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There was miracles. There was things that took place on that day that the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. They came out of that upper room and they spoke in tongues and miracles took place. And people said, "These men are drunk. Look how crazy they're acting." You see, when the church becomes the church, we're going to be criticized for being the church, the real church. When we are embraced by society, when society says, "Oh, we love you, we like what you do," when the culture says, "You're wonderful," we have problems in the church. That's just the way it is. The church needs to be salt and light. And I don't know if you've ever got salt in a wound before, but it hurts. It burns. And sometimes the salt that we add, it can be a healing agent too, but it burns. Because it's truth. All right. We're going to move on this morning and talk about some good things. Amen? Hallelujah. Right. Enlarge the place of your tent. Not only does verse 2 tells us to enlarge our tent, but Isaiah 54:3 says, "For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." What a promise we have been given by this scripture. Enlarge the place and be ready to make a difference in this world. We're talking about influence. John Maxwell says that influence is, our leadership is influence. Nothing less and nothing more. Every person sitting in here influences someone somehow. You are a leader, whether you believe it or not. Because your influence is touching someone in some way. When we think about tents, living in tents was something that they did many centuries ago, but the reality is the Bedouins in the Middle East are still living in tents. They're still making their own tents and they're living in tents. It's an ancient origin. It goes way back. Goes back to Abraham, who was a tent dweller, and moved around a lot. They do that. They're mostly they tend animals, and they live in their tents. They stay a certain place for a period of time, and then they move on to feed their animals. The tents are made out of black goat hair, and the children of Israel lived in tents like that for 40 years. They entered the promised land, and they still lived in tents for a long time after that, but then they started living in houses. But this word that is given to them and given to us as well gives us an understanding that God intended for His people to enlarge and influence everyone that we come in contact with. The best place to begin with influencing is in our family. And I mentioned this in the last message. Inside of a tent that the Bedouins use, usually they're oblong shaped and is divided into two compartments, sometimes three. There's a living, kind of a living space where the men usually hang out. There's this area for the women and servants. These tents are usually quite large, bigger than what we would imagine. But as they pitch their tents and they desire to expand their tents, they save up goat's hair and they begin to weave together a new section. And they just add a section onto that tent. So, as we think about in our families, as we are thinking about influencing our children, we just add new sections to our influence as we speak into our children's lives. As we speak in to encourage them in their careers, encourage them in their spirituality, encourage them to take a right stand and be godly people. Our families are so important. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, it tells us this. And I'm just trying to give you a little bit of overview of what I talked about. It tells us that we're to speak to our children about the things of God when we're in our homes, when we walk by the way, or when we go out and take a walk with our children. Well, that's something that probably doesn't happen very often anymore. But you know what it's encouraging us to do is spend time with our children. Spend time with them. Talk to them. Teach them things. Teach them about God. You know, when you spend time with your children, there's ample opportunity. All kinds of things come up. You can just talk to them about bugs and how God created those creatures. They love bugs usually. Animals, nature, whatever you're doing, You have the opportunity to instill biblical principles in their life. And God's word is very true. Parents, we have a responsibility. Take some time with your children. I know that this life that we live is so hectic, it's so difficult, but you will be glad that you took some time to spend time with your kids. Grandparents, spend time with your grandkids. My two grandsons, Marshall and Owen, they usually come over and spend the night with us on Saturday night. Sometimes they spend a weekend like they did this week. And you know, Tammy and I are very busy. We have many acres that we have to mow. We have a house to keep up. I have my mom's place that I try to help take care of, and a mobile home on the property that we're renting. Just right there on that property, we have plenty to keep us busy. And then we have a church and other responsibilities. You know, we could be busy 24 hours a day. But I have made it a priority that when my grandsons come over, and my granddaughter, when my kids are around, that we stop. We're going to stop doing the things that need to be done. You know, the yard can be mowed tomorrow. The house can be, you know, the roof only leaks when it's raining. You know that, Susie. Amen. There are more important things. And we just need to set our priorities, because we're talking about influencing the next generation. The next thing I believe we can do is love our spouse. This is so important. Your children need to see you love your spouse. They need to see the right attitude. Now, I'm not telling you you're not going to have disagreements, or you should never have disagreements. Disagreements are healthy. You know, there is nothing wrong with disagreeing with one another. How do you handle that disagreement? That's the important thing. Amen? I've got a lot of people just looking at me right now. Where are you going with this, Pastor? But I just want to encourage you, you know, our children are watching. Our grandchildren are watching. They're wondering what's going on. Do we really believe this love thing? Do we really believe that God commanded us to love our neighbors, love our spouse, love our families, love even our enemies? Do we really believe that? Well, that's the kind of influence that I'm talking about. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, if you'll turn there with me, gives us some very direct orders, commandments, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, as he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, when you read this, and particularly I read this sometimes at a wedding, And I get quite a negative response from some people, just on their face. Because this submission thing is not a popular subject in this feminized society that we live in. But it's the Word of God. Now, when we're talking about submission, and we look at this, we're not talking about somebody that is going to cower in front of the male figure in the household, the man, the husband. We're talking about a husband that loves their wife, and the wife understands the biblical principle of submission. But here's what I want you to understand. He's not just talking about wives submitting. He's talking about all of us submitting to one another. Look back at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. He's talking about everybody in the church should be submitting to each other. Everybody in the family should be submitting to one another. But God has placed things in an order. And the order is that the man is to carry the responsibility of the household. And that puts a lot of pressure on us men. That means that when decisions are made, we carry the responsibility of that. If we make a wrong decision, we should be responsible for it rather than turning to our wife and say, that was your fault, woman. This woman you gave me, God. That's what Adam said. We're supposed to be the head. We're supposed to be responsible. We're supposed to carry the responsibility of serving the living God. And we're going to make mistakes. Neither should the woman turn to the man and say, I told you so. Hallelujah. Because what is this all about? This is about a relationship with one another and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when we have that relationship right, we can look to one another and say, you know, that was a mistake. We're going to move on. Amen? We're going to move on because our God is bigger than blaming one another. Our God is stronger than pointing fingers at each other. Our God is the one that is leading and directing. And He has said this, I will make all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. So even when we make those mistakes, amen. Now, I would love to be able to stand up here and say, I am a shining example to you guys that to handle situations exactly like that. But I would be lying to you. I'm still working on this. And I have to take a step back sometimes and say, you know, I should not have said that to you. I'm sorry. My wonderful wife that my God has given me. Amen. Amen. So when I make those mistakes and I act that way, and I do, then it's incumbent upon me as the head of the household to get it right. Amen? I want to share 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of grace of life, and your prayers may not be hindered. Hallelujah. And when we say a weaker vessel, we're not saying that she's inadequate in any way. You women, we have some sharp women in this congregation. They're strong. They're strong in their will. They're strong in their physical abilities. But we've got to be honest with ourselves. We're telling our society that women can do anything men can do. And to a certain degree, that is true. But there is some limitations. You know, why do we have, when it comes to sports, why do we have women's professional sports and men's professional sports? Well, because we're made different. Absolutely. And you know, the reality is the best woman athlete on the face of the earth cannot compete with the best man athlete. You compare apples to apples because of the physical structure that God created. However, that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of great athletes out there, women athletes. They're, you know, Joy's granddaughter is playing professional basketball in Poland. Is that where she is? Oh, she's awesome. Now, I consider myself a decent basketball player, but she could run circles around me. There's no doubt about it. She can play the game. She's great. Am I making a good point here? I want everybody to understand. Let's be real about this stuff, and let's stop listening to this garbage that's trying to divide and conquer the sexes. Just like they're trying to divide and conquer the races. They're trying to divide us. Let's walk in love, but let's be real about our feelings, our emotions, and the reality of the way we are created. Our God is awesome and mighty. He put man and woman together to work together. We need each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up. One of the things I'd like to share with you this morning before I go on with the rest of this message, and that is the importance of husbands loving your wives, wives loving your husbands, submitting to each other, and recognizing the influence that you have with your children. As I was growing up, my dad was a very strong, powerful man. And we loved him very much, and he loved his children, and he would do anything for any of us. But I can tell you this, as much as he loved us, I have two brothers. As much as he loved the three boys, he loved my mother even more. He always made her first in his life. And what an example that was for us. He taught us to love and respect her, to put her first. And we've been able to, for the most part, carry that over into our lives. What an influence my dad had. And what an influence my mom had on our families, because she loved and respected my dad. He was number one in her life. And I got to tell you, the kids was her life. When I was growing up as a boy, I was firstborn, so I was special. I'm still very special, much to my brother's dismays. But my mom spent her whole life pouring in to us kids. She loved us. But when it came to Dad, we always had to take a back seat to him. Now, she would do that. However, my dad, being the kind of person he was, would always say, no, take care of the kids first. This is a family that I grew up in. And I'm so thankful that I had those kind of examples. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want you, husbands, wives, parents, grandparents, you have such an awesome opportunity to invest in the next generation. Such an awesome opportunity to influence them upward. They're being influenced downward in every way right now. But we can influence them upward toward the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, the example that Tammy and I both had as we were growing up was just awesome. Tammy's parents were married for 69 years. Do we have that picture of Henry and Eileen? That was, and they loved each other. Now, did they always get along? No. You see that man right there? He's the most stubborn man I've ever met in my life. But he said the same thing about me. I loved him because he was real He was true. He was honest. And he loved that woman. My parents were married. If my dad had lived, they would have been married 63 years this year. And I got to tell you this. Tammy's parents, my parents, the influence that is taking place, not only while they were alive, but it continues from generation to generation to generation. That's how important, that's how powerful our children are being influenced by it. Many generations of children are being influenced by it. Influence is powerful, parents. And I want you to have the kind of influence in your family and your children that makes a difference for the kingdom of God. I always share with people that I believe there's a book that can help you with this. There's a lot of good books out there about relationships. But the one that I promote often is The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. He wrote this in 1995. But it's relevant today. It's relevant for every generation. And he says that there are five languages that people speak, love languages: gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and physical touch. And absolutely, how many men would say in here physical touch is a big, big deal for you? Hey, come on, guys, you got to get with me here. Come on. Don't be afraid. I know she's sitting right beside of you. There's just something about us men that, you know, that we want that embrace and that touch. Now, there's a lot of women that way as well. However, that's a big deal. These other things, gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, and Tammy knows that those are the two things that I need most in my life: physical touch and words of affirmation. You know, I can have other people say negative things about me, and it hurts, but I can deal with it. But I need to hear my spouse, my wife, my best friend say, attaboy, keep up the good work. That's right. I need that. Because I can weather all the other negative stuff that comes at me as long as I know that that one standing beside of me is on my side and encouraging me. That's right. I believe that goes for all of us. Tammy's, her love languages are gifts and acts of service. So what do I have to do? Well, what I had to do was something that I hate to do. And that is, I had to clean the house up a little bit before she came back from vacation. So I had to do some sweeping and cleaning and had to do up the dishes that I hadn't done for a week. And I had to scrub the commodes. Yeah, I hate that. But you know what? That spoke volumes of love to my wife. It was an act of service. I can buy her a candy bar. And she loves that. You know, it's just an act. It's a gift. She doesn't. Look, I tell you what. She's always been a cheap date. Doesn't take much to make her happy. You know, a candy bar now and then, and she's fine. And, you know, I love her. I like to buy her flowers, but she's just not a flower person. But I can do something like a candy bar, and it makes all the time. Some of you ladies, you love flowers, and that's awesome. Men, take note of that. Listen, give them flowers, anniversaries, birthdays, whatever. Whatever it is that speaks to them, do it. This is important. Keep track of your anniversaries and your birthdays the things that are important, important dates, and make that woman feel special. You're missing the mark if you're not. Do the job. Do it right. And there's rewards for it. The relationship is good. It's worth it. Before some effort. Men and women, stop being lazy and selfish in your relationships. Think of the other person. What a heritage. What an opportunity we have in every area of our life. Now, I'm going to talk about our influence in the church. I'm going to talk about our influence in our job, in the marketplace. I'm going to talk about the importance of integrity and honesty. That's across the board in every area of our life. But I'm going to talk about all these things and how it is very important that we are influencing properly in every area of our life. But today I just wanted to focus on we had this baby dedication. I want to focus on our families. I want us to realize, for some of you, this message may not hit home at all. But for many of you, I believe it has. And that's my heart's desire. Every time I stand in this pulpit, I want to speak words that are truth, that are encouragement, that will lift you up, sometimes convict you. You need to be convicted. But it ultimately encourage you to serve the living God. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.